Hello and welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward. I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky. It's Monday, January the 3rd, one day before the General Assembly opens, and just a few days after the House Republicans dropped their redistricting maps. We're joined today by Representative Joni Jenkins and Senator Morgan McGarvey, the minority leaders in both chambers. We're going to talk a little bit about the redistricting situation and what happened there. We're also going to talk about the General Assembly, what they see coming, and what they hope will happen along the way. I think it's very interesting to talk to these two individuals, and we will be talking to them again as the General Assembly moves along. But today, let's look forward and back and talk with Joni Jenkins and Morgan McGarvey. So we're here today with Senator Morgan McGarvey and Representative Joni Jenkins, the minority leaders in both the House and the Senate in Kentucky. Both of you, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Glad to be here.
Okay. Obviously, redistricting is on the top of everybody's mind. So I'd like to, before we talk about the session itself, I'd like to spend just a minute or two talking about that. Morgan, let's start with you. Have you seen anything of the Senate or congressional redistricting maps?
No, we haven't at this point. And that's why it's you started with me, because I think I'll be easy. And obviously the House was a lot to talk about. Supposedly, we're going to get the Senate maps and the congressional maps tomorrow. We were asked for input as to Jefferson County, and we provided that to the Senate majority, but we have not seen a finished map for the Senate. We've not seen anything on the congressional maps at this point.
And have you heard anything, any rumors or anything about what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, you've got to, you know, understand that in Frankfurt, rumors are like oxygen. People need them to survive. So, yes, I've heard rumors, but I've heard so many rumors that it's hard to pick out just one. And I think at this point, we're best served to wait till tomorrow to see what actually comes out. And then I think one thing that's important to note is that Joni and I have been meeting throughout the interim and making sure that we have all options available to us to enforce fair maps through a transparent process.
All right. Joni, what about you? I understand there's a whole lot of stuff going on around the maps, but I wonder, beyond your initial statement, if there are other things you'd like to say about the process or the results.
Well, you know, I've been very clear throughout the last year, knowing that redistricting was coming along, is that it needed to be done in a transparent way so that not only legislators and currently elected officials, but that the communities and other stakeholders throughout the state had an opportunity to see the plan, to comment on the plan, and to give their expertise from their own areas about communities of interest and how it affects communities of influence, how it affects minority voters, how it affects areas that have seen growth and areas that have seen decrease in population. So it would be my hope that despite the House revealing their maps on a holiday, over a long holiday weekend, that there is time given for input from folks. You know, I've heard from folks across the state about how the proposal that we saw on Thursday affects minority voters, communities of influence, and communities of interest negatively. And so we're still digging down into that.
Are there any, and after I ask this, we can go on to the session. Are there any positives about those maps? Is there anything good to say about them?
You know, they were released in PDF form. It was really hard to see hard boundaries. So we are still digging down deep into that. We have, you know, a crew of folks that are trying to make those determinations. So until the bill is filed and the accompanying maps and legislative detail, it is precinct level detail. It's really hard to determine.
Yeah, okay. And Bruce, I want to jump in for a second too, because I think it's really important to underscore what Joni's saying. When we talk about redistricting, no matter who's in charge, we want to see it done in a fair, transparent way, a nonpartisan way, where communities are adequately represented in their government here in Frankfurt. And so while Joni has seen a map, we haven't seen a map at all. We're going to be coming into session tomorrow. You asked about rumors in Frankfurt. The big rumor I'm hearing, and Joni, I don't know if you're hearing the same thing, is that we're going to be coming in on Saturday this week. And that's so that we can get these maps passed out as quickly as possible. Even though as we sit here today, the Monday before we go into session, we haven't really either seen the maps or seen the precinct level data on the maps. Redistricting is really important. It's here for 10 years. It's how our communities and how our people are represented and reflected in their government. And the process so far has been underwhelming.
So assuming, let's just for the moment put redistricting aside, obviously the process that's been followed has been non-transparent and non-inclusive. I assume that casts some level of pall over the beginning of the session. Is there anything that you think that Democrats and Republicans will be able to work on together during this session? Are there things that you think you can get some bipartisan support for?
Sure, I'll start. And the answer is, I certainly hope so. Aside from redistricting, this is a budget year. And, you know, the budget is not just our ultimate policy document, it's a moral document. And this budget's going to be different than any I've had experience with, at least in my legislative tenure, in that we've been kind of given a once in a generation opportunity with the Federal Rescue Plan Act dollars, with the infrastructure bill that Congressman Yarmuth carried through in Washington, that's got $5 billion in infrastructure money coming to Kentucky over the next 5 years. We also have billion-dollar surpluses and a well-stocked rainy day fund. We really have the opportunity to make big, bold investments in Kentucky's future, whether it's making sure that every Kentuckian has access to high-speed internet, or making sure every Kentucky child has access to the public preschool. We can make these investments now in this budget this year that will be serving Kentuckians and working for Kentuckians long after both of us have left the General Assembly. And so I think we have a real opportunity to work together to do great and big things for Kentucky this session.
Joni, what about you?
I agree completely with Leader McGarvey. We have this opportunity to have what I hope are open, vigorous conversations about how we take this opportunity of money and make big, bold investments in Kentucky. And there are lots of things we can talk about. Morgan hit on a bunch of them: expanding broadband, pre-K, ensuring that every Kentuckian can go to the tap and turn on their water and have clean drinking water. We have the opportunity to reward those workers that in the early days of the pandemic, before we even knew how this terrible virus was spread, before we knew anything much about it, that went there day after day on the front line, putting themselves and perhaps their families at risk. And we felt so strongly about this in the House Democratic Caucus that we had 3 public hearings on this, 2 in person and 1 on Zoom, to at least give these workers the opportunity to be seen and heard. I hope there's really good conversations around that so that we can honor them and perhaps reward them. This should be a good budget for education, both K through 12 and higher. And also it's time for us to invest in our people. And those are the state employees that come to work every single day, and our nonpartisan staff that help us here in the legislature work on policy, but also those folks that go to work and protect the most vulnerable of us, the children in foster care, state custody, correction officers, police officers. There are a ton and ton of folks that have not had salary increases for years that are doing good work. And a lot of them are coming in under a pension program that is not very rich and is one of the things that helped us attract and retain workers is no longer available to us. So I'm hoping that we can do some good work around that.
Totally agree, Bruce. And I should say, Leader Jenkins called me by my formal title, which is rare. So I'm going to call her by her formal title as well. Leader Jenkins is so right in that. And I think it does underscore a different importance too. When we talk about redistricting. Now look, Democrats and Republicans are not always going to get along. And we know that there's issues we're going to fight about this session. We're going to have some real differences of opinion and how to do things and how to go forward. Then we know there are areas where we should come together, like finding ways to spend this money that really do, you know, whether you live in a part of Louisville that is underserved with broadband, or you live in a part of rural Kentucky that's underserved by broadband, that there we have similar needs. You know, the same thing with kids in school and drinking water and things that we're talking about here. I'll also say, though, it's really hard to come out with a punitive, non-transparent redistricting map that is punishing certain members and then say, hey, I know we did that the first week. Let's come back and work together on this. And so, you know, I do hope that kind of spirit of doing what is best for Kentucky and doing what's best for Kentucky government and Kentucky's people going forward permeates everything we're doing in the legislative session, knowing we're going to have some real differences on a couple of issues, but that sense we need to do this with the money and the budget also comes into other areas as well.
I realized that because I know both of you fairly well, I've been calling you by your first name, so I probably ought to apologize for that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I usually call him Senator Daddy McGarvey.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I talk to Joni so much. I mean, so much. And we've been friends for 20 years, but I talked to her so much during the pandemic that my daughter, who's now three, I think when she was like right at two or maybe a little bit before, right after two, she named one of her baby dolls Joni because she heard me say the name so many times on the phone that she named one of the baby dolls Joni. So, I mean, that's, we talk a lot and that's why, but there you go.
So that leads me to one quick question about the pandemic. I know that you're back in Frankfort physically. Mm-hmm. Has there been any discussion about masking or any care for people while the session's going on?
I just heard from the governor's office today that they have arranged for the executive branch and are inviting legislators and their staff to use daily rapid testing. It will start tomorrow morning in the education center. I've also heard that LRC has withdrawn their request for their staff members. And I think that's just a really, really bad decision. We are still in the learning more about this last variant. We are going to be all working very closely together. I'm encouraging my members and staff to wear the KN95 masks, which have been but CDC has recommended for us. We are going to take every possible precaution that we can to be present on the floor and fighting back every single day and standing up for Kentuckians every single day.
So before we leave this, let me make sure I understood you correctly. The governor is offering all of the legislature and their staff the opportunity to have rapid testing every day. And did you say that the leadership of LRC has turned down that offer?
The governor has offered to legislators and their partisan staff daily testing. LRC, which is kind of a bigger organization that houses all of the nonpartisan staff, those folks that work on bills. And from what I understand, they came back to the governor and said they withdrew that request.
Wow. Okay. I'm watching my time here. So let me jump to one last thing. I've looked through pretty much all of the pre-filed bills or the bill requests and have identified some train wreck bills. And there's a lot of, you know, fairly narrow technical ones. Leader McGarvey, what would you say are the top two bad bills that you've seen for the Senate?
Oh gosh. You know, Bruce, normally I just answer questions straightforward. I think with those, we might not know yet. And so I don't want to say because we might not know yet. I actually find that oftentimes pre-filed bills, they're not the ones that come forward during the session. The Senate will be releasing its priority bills tomorrow and Wednesday. And so, you know, I don't want to draw a lot of attention to a bill that really has no traction here in the chamber. And so I'm going to withhold on declaring the worst two, just because I don't think we know the worst two yet. What I think we need to do is focus on the best bills that are being offered up, right? And there are areas even where there's, again, there is bipartisan agreement. It's insane we don't have sports betting. It's crazy we haven't passed a medical marijuana bill. You have members of both parties supporting these. And I think there's initiatives like, you know, like we've talked about with the priorities on spending money that are coming forward in a budget session. Things like codifying parts of the Affordable Care Act, just to make sure that those don't go away, that we make sure we don't discriminate based on pre-existing conditions, that kids aren't kicked off their parents' health insurance. Really popular things that have been part of the law here that, again, ensure the safety, the health, the well-being of Kentuckians going forward. Let's focus on those for the time being. And then I think we're going to see some more bad legislation roll out this week.
Leader Jenkins, comment?
Well, I agree with Leader McGarvey. Sometimes those bills that are pre-filed are diversions to real problems in Kentucky. I spent a little time safely during COVID talking to folks across the state of Kentucky. And, you know, they don't mention what I classify as the guns, gynecology, and God bills. What they talk about are their kids. And they talk about their concerns and fears for their kids. They're worried about addiction rates. They're worried about education. They're worried about jobs. They want their kids to be able to do better than they're doing and to be able to stay in Kentucky and raise their families here. So I think that's what we ought to be focusing.
All right. I will want to talk to both of you again sometime during the session, see how things are going. And I am anxiously looking forward to the Senate and congressional maps tomorrow to see what those look like. Senator Morgan McGarvey, Representative Joni Jenkins, the two minority leaders in the state legislature, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bruce. And trust me, I'm confident we'll be talking again. We're very interested in seeing these maps and these bills roll out as well. So thanks for paying attention.
That was Senator Morgan McGarvey and Representative Joni Jenkins, the two minority leaders in the Kentucky legislature. I want to thank them both for their time. I know they are very busy getting ready for General Assembly kicking off tomorrow, Tuesday. If you want to follow the General Assembly, you need to go to forwardky.com and sign up to be a subscriber. Even better, sign up to be a paying member. Paying members get a daily newsletter about the General Assembly, as well as some other perks that are all explained on the site. That's forwardky.com/subscribe. We may be increasing our frequency of podcasts because there's so much going on. So if you have not subscribed, go to your favorite podcast provider and subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.